Time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad you're with us tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned. We have an exciting study planned. We hope you have your Bibles ready, and we hope you're ready to study along from God's Word to find out what His will is for us in our lives. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be with you tonight on the Virtual Bible Study. What we usually say is the study is virtual, but the truths are real. We look forward to studying together from the Word of God tonight.
We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're tuned in. And we want to hear from you tonight on the program. This is an interactive program which we benefit from your comments or your questions about our subject tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567 or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We're looking forward to your participation on the program tonight. We have an interesting topic for tonight. We want to talk about inconvenient truths. Al Gore has a new documentary out, Dad, I'm sure our listeners are familiar with, titled An Inconvenient Truth. The premise of that documentary is that if we accept global warming, Al Gore's big thing, if we'll accept global warming, that'll be an inconvenient truth. And as a result, a lot of people don't want to accept that truth that global warming is happening, as Al Gore proposes.
It would be if it's true. Of course, we're not taking Al Gore's position on that necessarily. I've got a lot of doubts about global warming myself, but that's not our subject for tonight. But the point of, I think it's kind of an intriguing title that he chose, probably pretty wise. I mean, if global warming is true, that's an inconvenient truth because it means we'll have to change our lives. We'll have to maybe give up our cars. We'll have to do some other things differently. We've enjoyed living like we live. And if we come to accept the truth of global warming, and therefore we have to alter things, change things, that would be an inconvenient truth. And so, again, we're not taking the position that we agree with Al Gore on global warming, but we're going to kind of play off of his title with the same concept in mind, that the Bible teaches some things that, if accepted as true, can be rather inconvenient because it means people have to change their lives.
Al Gore's premise is there are people out there trying to suppress this truth, trying to ignore the facts that indicate, as Al Gore would surmise, that global warming is occurring. He says that global warming is an inconvenient truth and therefore people will not accept it. But as you said, Dad, we believe there are a lot of religious people in the world today who are ignoring clear biblical truths because they are inconvenient. What about you? Have you ever seen anyone do this? Have you ever seen anyone in the religious world who would not accept a certain biblical teaching because it was inconvenient, because it would cause them to have to change their life? We want to hear from you. The number to call is 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Dad, this is an interesting topic tonight because really we can go in any direction that our listeners want to go in. We don't have any fixed subject to talk about. We can talk about any truth that someone might view as inconvenient and might have seen others trying to ignore or trying to twist so that they would not have to be inconvenienced by the truths of God's Word.
Well, you know, that's been the history of mankind throughout really all the ages. In every way that God has tried to deal with mankind, they have tried to ignore what He instructed, tried to change and innovate, bring it around to their own way of thinking, do what pleases them rather than what pleases God. So there's just probably a limitless number of things that we could use as examples. But we would like our listeners tonight to email us or give us a call. Tell us what you see as some examples of the fact that the Bible has posed some inconvenient truths that men typically are not willing to accept because they don't want to change their lives.
Have you seen religious people who have ignored clear Bible teachings because it would inconvenience them and require them to change their lives? Have you known members of the Lord's church, people who would claim to be members of the Church of Christ, who have ignored clear Bible teachings or have twisted and perverted clear Bible teachings so that they would not be inconvenienced by the truths of God's Word. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Call us in, call us or send us an email. Let us know what some of these truths are that you have observed people twisting on purpose so they would not be inconvenienced. You know, Dad, we can look at the religious world around us. We don't have to look very far at all to understand that people in the denominational world are twisting the scriptures all the time, trying to ignore the teachings of God's Word when those teachings are inconvenient and when they would cause them to have to take a position that would not be popular. People begin to twist and pervert those scriptures.
Seems like in recent years there's been an increasing inclination, almost a sort of compulsion for people to be politically correct, and that meaning that they have to take positions to maintain popularity with people rather than to do the right thing, especially to be religiously right with God. Jacob, we saw where that the Presbyterian Church, maybe just as a sort of a classic example of someone trying to do this, there was a news article recently where the Presbyterian Church decided they needed to change the name of God because, you know, all the references to God in the Bible and historically all the references to God in religious practice have been masculine. But, you know, we live in the feminist age, you know. Women are kind of offended by the fact that the Almighty Creator is a masculine being. And so they have decided that maybe they'll change that.
Yep, they have changed the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have come up with various suggestions on how we might rename God and give him some names that make us feel a little bit better. Here's one. They've suggested we rename the Father, call him Compassionate Mother. We'll call the Father, God the Father, the Compassionate Mother, because it's sort of offensive to call God a father, a male, a masculine term. And we'll rename the Son. We'll call him the Beloved Child. See, that's not gender specific. We'll call the Son the Beloved Son, a Beloved Child. And the Holy Spirit will be the life-giving womb. Isn't that amazing? It's uncomfortable for some people for God to have masculine terms that are used to describe him. And so let's rename the Father. Let's call him something else. Let's call him the Compassionate Mother. It's just very obvious how they've tried to twist and pervert the scriptures to make them suit themselves.
That's right. And again, you know, it's the idea of being politically correct. You know, I don't think that in previous ages anybody would have dreamed of doing such a thing, but currently, we live in this age where the feminists have had a strong political influence in our country and our culture. And so in order to appease them, see, now you wouldn't do this to be right religiously. You would do this to appease men, or in this case, appease women, to make people happier with what we're saying and doing religiously.
Because it's inconvenient what the Bible teaches, and so therefore let's twist those scriptures so that they're not as inconvenient, so the truth is not as inconvenient. Here's another set of names that they've proposed for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They want to perhaps rename the Father, call him the Rainbow of Promise. We'll rename the Son and call him Ark of Salvation, and then the Holy Spirit, we could rename the Holy Spirit and call him Dove of Peace. Isn't that it's really obnoxious how they've come up with those terms.
Well, I think this is probably an extreme example. I think oftentimes some of these denominations are sort of way out there. We'd consider them to be way out there in left field on things like that. But that's just an example of to the extent that some people will go in order to do such this. We're just using that as an illustration. In other words, they are inconvenienced by the truth of the Bible concerning the masculine identity of God, and so they're going to change that. Well, change that. Change what else would you change? You know, what other truths in the Bible are inconvenient? We don't like it. We don't like the outcome. We don't even like the way it sounds, so we'll change it to suit ourselves. You know, that's what we're talking about tonight on the Virtual Bible Study.
We could rename God and call him the overflowing fount. The Son we could call the living water, and the Holy Spirit, the flowing river. You know, anything that makes you happy, just change it, because we don't want to be inconvenienced by the truth at all. You know, Dad, I think that's reflective of our society that we live in. We want everything to be like we want it. We want everything to be comfortable. And if anything makes us uncomfortable, that has to go. That has to get out of the way. And that includes God's Word. If God's Word makes us uncomfortable, if it inconveniences us in any way, let's change it, because we cannot be inconvenienced at all in the society that we live in. That's reflective, I think, in the religious practice of the world around us.
Yeah, and if you're listening tonight and you've got some examples of some things like that, please let us know. that's what we're talking about tonight. We'd be glad to talk about any subject, but that's what we're suggesting as our topic for discussion tonight. Jacob, let me bring up another example of this same sort of mentality that probably is much more practical than changing the name of God, and that is to change what the Bible teaches on a subject like divorce and remarriage. You know, that's a hard thing and sometimes produces real difficult consequences in people's lives. I mean, people want to divorce and remarry as many times as they please and do whatever they want to, leave this wife, get another one, so forth, and yet they still want to be religiously acceptable. So they're going to have to change some things about the Word of God. We'll get a little more into maybe the divorce and remarriage question a little later, but you know, I think maybe you've got an example of what one of the denominations is doing in this regard.
Yeah, that's right. The national paper, The Tennessean, ran a story last week, August 22nd, in which they gave a report on the Church of God of Prophecy. That church is headquartered in Cleveland, Tennessee. They had their convention, their International General Assembly in Nashville recently, and they devoted a lot of time to this assembly to the discussion of divorce and remarriage because they are concerned that the society that we live in, there are so many people who are divorced. It's a great epidemic in our society, and it is perhaps even worse in other societies where the Church of God of Prophecy would like to go and evangelize. And so they're concerned that if everyone that they are preaching to is divorced and maybe an unscriptural marriage, that may hinder people from being in their church. And so therefore they want to twist the scriptures and twist the teachings of the scriptures to maybe soften the teaching of God's word so that their message is more acceptable to the people they're preaching to.
Now that's, as I said, that's probably a lot more practical example of this kind of changing and innovating to suit men than what we were saying earlier about changing the name of God. A while back, the Fox News Channel, Jacob, along the same lines, had a piece in which they said, "Till death do us part" in wedding ceremonies is out the window and is being replaced in marriage vows by expressions like, "For as long as we continue to love each other, for as long as our love shall last, until our time together is over." In other words, don't say "till death do us part," because we're probably not going to stay together that long. We're just going to stay together as long as we love each other. That's the way people don't even intend to stay together, lifelong marriages. And so religious groups are trying to adjust to that reality. Doesn't matter what the Word of God says, they're trying to adjust to that reality because it's an inconvenient truth if you tell people that once you get married, you're expected to stay married for a lifetime.
It's clear how people are studying their Bibles. They're coming to the Bible and asking, "What makes me happy?" Not, "What does God want from me?" They're asking the question, "What makes me happy? And if it makes me happy, that's what I'm going to do, and I will make the scriptures conform to what I believe makes me happy, and I'll twist the scriptures however I have to so that I am not inconvenienced in any way." What do you think? Have you seen any inconvenient truths out there? Have you seen any in the religious world who are not being able to conform to the Word of God because they don't want to be inconvenienced in any way? The number to call is 931-381-4567. Or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We see some emails coming in. We'll take those on the other side of the break, but now's a great time for you to jump in on the discussion. Have you seen any people in the religious world? Have you seen any members of the Lord's Church who would call themselves members of the Church of Christ who have been guilty of not conforming to the Word of God, but instead conforming the Word of God to them so that they would not be inconvenienced? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hi, my name is Mike Johnson. I'm a member here at the College of View Church of Christ. Have you ever heard someone say that the members of the Church of Christ are too legalistic? Generally, people say this when we say that we must be careful to follow all the commands that God has given us. When we say, "God says we must do this," or "God doesn't command us to do that," people respond with, "The members of the Church of Christ are too legalistic." Well, while it may be impossible to know exactly what people mean when they make this accusation, if they are accusing us of being legalistic because we say that we should follow all the instructions that God has given us, then that accusation is correct. But let me ask you this. Which of the commands that God has given us should we ignore? Can we pick and choose which commands we follow, or must we follow them all? Jesus said we have to follow all the commands of God when he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We want to call Jesus our Lord, so we try to follow all the commandments that he has given us. We don't in any way think that following God's commands earns our salvation, but we do think it is necessary to be pleasing to Him. Here at the College View Church of Christ, we're trying to follow every command that God has given us. If, as a result, some people call us legalistic, then so be it. We think it's what God calls being righteous.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the Virtual Bible Study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're with us tonight on the program. We hope you'll stay tuned as we talk about inconvenient truths on the program tonight. We're sort of playing on Al Gore's recent documentary, which he proposes that global warming is occurring and that is an inconvenient truth that people are hesitant to accept because it would require them to change their lives. We're proposing on the program tonight that many in the religious world have come to the Bible and found a lot of inconvenient truths within the pages of God's Word, truths that if they accept would require them to change their life and be inconvenienced. And as a result, instead of accepting the truths of God's Word, they grow to great pains and great trouble to twist and pervert the Word of God so that they're not inconvenienced. Have you observed this in the religious world? If so, give us a call at 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you on the phones tonight. We'd also love to get an email from you. Send an email to questions@collegeview.com.
Jacob, you know, what we're talking about is really not a new trend. People have been trying to do such things for a long time. I came across an illustration from the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 42, the people said to Jeremiah 42 verse 5, they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord is a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not, even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." So the people said to Jeremiah, "You go inquire of the Lord in our behalf, and whatever he says, whatever you tell us, that's what we're going to do. We're sure enough going to do it, Jeremiah. You bring us back word from the Lord, and we'll do whatever he said."
All right, now they hadn't gotten the word of the Lord yet, so that's easy to say, right? Yeah. You just tell us, and we'll do it. Now they get the word of the Lord, what do they say?
Well, it says in chapter 43, verse 1, came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then several of the men stood up and said, "Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say these things."
All right. It hurts a little bit, doesn't it, when you actually hear the word of the Lord?
And so there's a classic example, and that dates back. Now, we're talking about something that happened about 2,500 years ago, but that sounds like something that could happen today, doesn't it? You tell us, and we'll do it. And then they hear what they have to do and say, "Wait a minute, we're not going to go along with that." And that's just very typical of people religiously.
Well, we hear it a lot. There must be some mistake, right? God surely wouldn't expect that of me. There's got to be a mistake somewhere. Let's start to see where we can find that mistake. Instead of accepting the word of God, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com are the ways you can participate on the program tonight. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight.
Jacob, we got some emails coming in. Dean has written in from Leesville, Louisiana. Dean, we're glad you're listening to the Virtual Bible Study tonight. And he said, "I would say that the teachings of Christ concerning to whom we may be lawfully married would certainly fall into your subject this evening. Christ taught that we could only put away our spouse and be married to another in the situation where there has been infidelity. However, we would like to marry, divorce, or marry for any reason. People who have had multiple marriages will look for ways to justify or negate the Bible teaching of marriage because rectifying the situation may be very inconvenient in their lives." Matthew 19, verse 9. I think you're right on, Dean. I think that's unfortunately, one of the most typical examples in the modern age of people who find the truths of the Bible inconvenient. That is a very inconvenient thing. As you said, you properly referenced Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Let's read that. I think many of our listeners are familiar with the teaching of Jesus on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." That's pretty plain teaching. It's easy enough to understand. But when people make application of that, Jacob, sometimes they come to the realization that they don't have a a scriptural right to the person that they're married to, that they may have to separate from that one and maybe even live a celibate life in order to truly repent of their sins and be right with God. And that's a very incredibly inconvenient thing.
You know, it's interesting, the teaching of Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, from an objective viewpoint is very easy to understand. You know, young children can understand the teachings of Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. But yet when we find ourselves in a position that contradicts Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, and the other teachings on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, suddenly those passages, for those people who are in contrast to what the Bible has said, those passages become very difficult to understand, don't they, Dad? Because we're trying to twist and we're trying to work our way to where we can get past those teachings and not have to change our life. They're very difficult to understand and accept when we're trying to avoid the teachings of God's Word.
Yeah. For instance, on that marriage, divorce, and remarriage, Jacob, some people have tried to say, well, these teachings of Jesus don't pertain to people who are not Christians. In other words, if you divorced and remarried a time or two, maybe several times before you became a Christian, those former marriages don't count, that the Lord's teaching on divorce and remarriage only applies to those who are Christians. But again, you know, just a real simple reading of Matthew 19:9 says, whosoever, that's an all-inclusive expression, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. So, you know, it's inconvenient to some to accept it, but this teaching of the Lord on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is pertinent to everyone.
Well, there are some that have suggested, well, that may be true, but, you know, I'm really having a hard time getting along with my wife. And I'm going to get a divorce from my wife, and it'll be okay. God will accept it as long as I don't remarry. I'm sure you've heard that argument, Dad, that divorce is okay as long as you don't get remarried. The Bible, again, is very clear. Divorce is not acceptable to God. We cannot just get a divorce and not get remarried, but a lot of people are trying to twist the scriptures and say that's okay.
You know, that's becoming an increasingly popular false doctrine. In fact, even some well-known preachers among churches of Christ have taken up that position, and I'm just alarmed at their teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, Paul wrote, "Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." So he says plainly, do not divorce. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Some people are twisting and perverting that text, verse 11, where it says, verse 10 says, let not the wife depart from her husband. So in other words, it's a sin if she does that. Don't do that. If she does it, if she departs, verse 11, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. In other words, don't compound the sin by marrying someone else that you don't have a right to. But this is not saying it's okay to divorce so long as you don't remarry. It's a sin to divorce if you don't have scriptural cause.
You know, a lot of people, though, are trying hard to twist the scriptures, trying to complicate the scriptures, and trying to find a way that they can do what they want to do and not be inconvenienced, not be bothered by what God has revealed to us in His Word. Have you seen any examples of that? Give us a call at 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Another marriage and divorce type issue, Dad, we've all seen, is this idea that you can get a divorce, and then if there is fornication that occurs after the divorce, then that gives the innocent party the right to remarry for this fornication that has occurred after the divorce. The so-called mental divorce position is another position where people are trying to twist the scriptures because they don't want to be inconvenienced by the clear teachings of God's Word.
Yeah, I think probably some of our listeners tonight have probably heard that title of mental divorce, and that is the idea that you just described, Jacob, that if I can't get along with my wife, if we have issues and we divorce, but there's been no infidelity, no fornication, no sexual immorality, if I can just wait until she does commit fornication, then I can mentally put away. I obviously can't literally put her away because the marriage has already been ended, but I can mentally put her away and go and remarry because now she's committed fornication. Fornication after the fact of divorce being used as a justification for remarriage, that is what we have come to label as mental divorce, and that's just not taught in the Bible. That's an inconvenient truth, Jacob, to realize that if you get a divorce without scriptural cause, you can't remarry. Put away people can't remarry. That's inconvenient truth. A lot of people don't want to live up to that, but that's what we've got to do.
We don't get any kind of twisted pleasure out of telling people, Dad, that if they're divorced without scriptural cause, they can't get remarried. That's an unfortunate thing in the human perspective, but that's the teaching of God's Word. And if we're going to be pleasing to God, we've got to just submit to God's Word. We can't twist the Word of God to make it please ourselves. We must instead twist ourselves and turn ourselves to be pleasing to God.
Yeah. We've got another email from Kathleen, and Kathleen has written in to suggest, again, marriage, divorce, and remarriage as an example of what we're talking about tonight, an inconvenient truth. I think you're exactly right, Kathleen. She's also mentioned the Ten Commandments, and then in parentheses in her email, she has included Colossians 2:14. Now, I would use Colossians 2, verse 14, to suggest that the Ten Commandments, along with all of the Old Testament law of Moses, have been nailed to the cross of Jesus. And, you know, a lot of, and that may be inconvenient or unpleasant when we make that point. Jacob, a while back, we had a whole virtual Bible study session still available in our archives if people would like to listen to it on the Ten Commandments. We believe the Ten Commandments are part of the law of Moses, and it was all nailed to the cross of Jesus. We're not under the law of Moses today, and we're not under the Ten Commandment law. Now, we certainly understand that the principles, 9 of those 10 principles, are repeated in the New Testament, with the exception of keeping the Sabbath day. The 4th commandment of the 10 is not repeated in the New Testament. But again, a lot of people don't like to hear that. That's inconvenient.
Yeah, we could go on a little bit later in Colossians chapter 2 down to verse 16, where we see that the Sabbath is included in those laws of Moses that have been done away with. The Sabbath is no longer binding from verses like Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, but there are a lot of people who would find that inconvenient or would like to not see the Ten Commandments done away with, and they might say that that's an inconvenient truth. Thank you for your email tonight. Thank you for listening, Kathleen, and also for Dean down in Louisiana. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
We got another email, Jacob, from Dan up in Greenwood, Indiana. Dan, we're glad you're listening tonight to the virtual Bible study. And Dan says, can you use the word hide from the truth? When you see these people on TV doing miracles, and when they are confronted about the results, they tend to hide to avoid confrontation of the truth or support what they say, can, and are doing. I think that's exactly right. In other words, it would be nice if they would try to defend these false claims of miracles. And again, that's another subject that we've talked about on the virtual Bible study. And in our archives, you can find a whole program devoted to the subject of miracles. We don't believe that miracles are being performed in the world today, but there are plenty of people who are falsely claiming that, and they want to believe that. And so instead of allowing themselves to be confronted and challenged to prove their position, they just run and hide because it's inconvenient to them to be forced to defend their practices. So they run and hide. I think you gave us another good example. Dan, thanks for listening tonight.
Thanks for listening up in Indiana tonight. Dan, we're glad that you're part of the virtual Bible study tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or we'd like to take an email from you tonight at questions@collegeview.com. Any question or comment, send it to questions@collegeview.com to be a part of the program tonight. You know, the truth is inconvenient, Dad. There are people who go to great lengths and great efforts to hide from the truth and to not accept the clear teachings of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, notice the length and the trouble that people will go to avoid the clear teachings of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. These people are actively turning against the truths of God's Word because they're inconvenient, and they're desperately trying to avoid them. They're trying to heap up teachers that will tell them what they want to hear because they do not want to hear the clear teachings of God's Word. They don't want to be inconvenienced by the truth, and these people that are talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 will not endure sound doctrine. That's what we see in the religious world today, and unfortunately, that's what we see among members of the church at some times. When we find truths that are inconvenient to us, not what we want to accept, we begin to twist the truth so that we can avoid the inconvenient truths of God's Word. What do you think? Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. or call us on the phone at 931-381-4567. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're a part of it tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you and having you participate in the Virtual Bible Study. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear your thoughts as we discuss inconvenient truths on the program tonight. We believe the Word of God has many truths that are inconvenient to those that they affect. We believe that the Word of God constantly calls us to change our lives, and that change can be inconvenient and unpleasurable. And as a result, there are people in the religious world, and there are people who claim to be members of the Lord's church, who are constantly perverting and twisting the Scriptures when they come upon a truth that it would require them to change their lives, that a truth that would be inconvenient. They are like the people in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, who will not endure sound doctrine, and they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Dad, there are people in the religious world who are actively turning against the truth, turning their ears against the truth, don't want to hear the truth of God's word because it would require a change, and they're simply unwilling to make that change because it's inconvenient.
Yeah, you know, Peter talked about this too, Jacob, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. He talked about some who will wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. To the word rest there suggests to twist it, to contort it, to change it to their own satisfaction. But notice Peter says when you do that, you do it to your own destruction. You can change things. God's going to let you do it. I mean, we're free moral agents. We can do as we please. But if you twist the Scriptures, if you change what God is, you do it to your own eternal destruction. And so we've got to keep that in mind. That's Jacob, right. we had a phone call. Somebody was having maybe some trouble hearing us. If any others are having trouble if we're not getting out clearly, you might send us an email. We think that we're okay on our end, and so hopefully
but we do have some new equipment tonight, and so yeah, we could have those
Jacob's
technical
playing
bugs.
With some new
That's
toys,
right.
so we might have a problem there. Got another email. Dean, who wrote in earlier, wrote again with another example, Jacob, and he says, another inconvenient truth might relate to the Bible teaching and our need to be evangelists of the Word. A number of excuses are often given as a reason to not be personally engaged in evangelism. Many members of the Lord's church are not willing to put forth the effort or time involved to study God's Word and proclaiming it to others. You know, that is something that strikes kind of close to home when we realize that we're personally obligated to be sharing our faith with other people. That's sort of an inconvenient thing. You know, you have to go out of your way. You have to put forth some effort. You maybe have to put yourself in a potentially embarrassing situation. You might have to open yourself up to ridicule in order to let people know what you believe and encourage them to study the Scriptures with you to try and bring them to an understanding of God's Word. That is inconvenient. It'd be easier not to have to do that.
Well, that's an excellent point, Dean. You know, the Scriptures are very clear, Dad, that we should be teaching those who are lost the Scriptures, the gospel of Christ, so that they can have the hope of heaven when they die. The Scriptures are very inconvenient, and we can accept that. We can see what the Scriptures teach. But when it gets down to applying what the Scriptures teach, then we begin to make the excuses. We begin to think that maybe the Scriptures aren't talking to us, And we begin to twist the scriptures, and we try to neglect the fact that we should be teaching those who are lost. So, Dean, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate that good comment tonight.
We've got another email in, Jacob, from Wade in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Wade, we're glad you're listening tonight. He says, isn't one of our biggest inconveniences going to worship? I was telling my wife just the other day that it doesn't seem like we really have 2 days off on the weekend. We try to get caught up on everything on Saturday, and we go to church twice on Sunday. Now, wouldn't it be easy just to do what we wanted to do on Sunday instead of what God wants us to do? And then he references Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Well, wait, I'm sure there are a lot of people who think that it would be, and a lot of people are testing that hypothesis and finding that it is easier to not worship God on Sunday as we've been instructed in God's Word. And the excuses begin to roll, Dad, when we find out that people are not going to worship God. They have all kinds of excuses. They begin to twist the scriptures so that they can have their pleasure, have it like they want it, because the truth of God's Word is inconvenient.
You know, really, when you stop to think about this subject, Jacob, what we're saying is that the whole concept of sacrifice is inconvenient. When I have to yield, when I have to do something other than what I personally, naturally, carnally, physically want to do, that's the whole notion of sacrifice, and yet that's what serving the Lord is all about. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, what we're saying is it's inconvenient to be told that you have to sacrifice something, that you have to give something up. You know, there's all kinds of examples like that, but it's an inconvenient thing to be told I can't do just as I please.
You know, I think a lot of people come to God's Word, and as they're studying God's Word, their barometer to decide if something is truth or not is, does it make me hurt? They come to God's Word saying, God's Word is going to make me feel good all over. It's going to make my life just like I personally want it. And therefore, if I read something in God's Word that doesn't make my life exactly like I want it, then we must conclude that I'm reading the Scriptures wrong, because God surely wouldn't want me to do something that's inconvenient. Don't you think a lot of people in the religious world, a lot of people in the denominational world study their Bible like that? If they come across a truth that looks like it could inconvenience them or cause them some discomfort, then they determine, well, I must not be reading that right. I've got to interpret it some other way that wouldn't cause me any inconvenience.
Yeah, that's right. And so, again, just if some of you are joining us late for the program tonight, our concept is that there are certain truths in the Word of God which, if understood and applied, may bring certain inconveniences to us. And the tendency of mankind is, therefore, not to accept those truths or try to change them. But to ignore the truth and try to change it doesn't make it go away. And we've got an eternal God that we've got to deal with. We've got judgment awaiting. We've got to accept the truths of God's Word.
God has told us that His truths will be inconvenient and that some people will be unwilling to accept them. What are some of those truths that you believe people are avoiding because they could be perceived as inconvenient? Call us at 931-381-4567 or give us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear from you on the program tonight.
Jacob, we've got an email from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, we're glad you're listening tonight. He says, in regard to names and titles, it's been convenient for many years to refer to preachers as reverend and refer to priests as father. Jesus condemns this in Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10, where he says, be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Well, I think that's right. You know, here's an example of something. The Bible just really straightforward on that, that we're not to call anyone religiously, not to call anyone our father. Our father is in heaven. But obviously, you know, a while back we had a Catholic guest on our program, and we didn't get to ask him specifically about that, but that's an example of something that they've done for a long time in direct violation of what the New Testament teaches on that subject. Jesus himself said, don't do that, and they do it. And so if they were to accept that truth, it would bring upon them the inconvenience of having to change a practice that's centuries long in standing.
Well, the Catholic Church is not alone. Many in the religious world use the term reverend or rabbi or father to describe a religious leader. Again, in direct contradiction of God's word, they don't want to accept that. It's inconvenient. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Thank you for listening tonight, and thank you for your comment, Mike.
We got some people who've emailed us in, Jacob, say it sounds like the stream is getting out there good, so we're glad that that's working fine. So apparently the one who called in was having a local problem on his end, so hope that gets worked out. Got an email from Patrick, who asked the question about same-sex marriages. Jacob, what about same-sex marriages? Would this be an example of our concept that we're developing tonight, that the truths of the Bible are inconvenient to some people?
Well, I don't know about the same-sex marriage. Sure, certainly there are many in the religious world who are supportive of same-sex marriage, but even more in the religious world are supportive of homosexuality. Even those in the religious world who would ordain religious priests and rabbis who are homosexual. The Bible's very clear, Dad, that homosexuality is condemned. But that's inconvenient. That's not politically correct. That makes some people uncomfortable. That requires that some people change their lifestyle. So instead of accepting this as the truth of God's word, we begin to twist and pervert the word of God so that we now would believe that homosexuality is okay and acceptable and even pleasing to God when God has been so clear to condemn homosexuality.
I think that's exactly right. You know, there's some very plain passages of Scripture that teach that God condemns homosexuality and that those who practice it will not gain His eternal favor.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And some other passages there, other versions would translate those words differently.
I've got the New American Standard up here, Jacob, where the King James uses the expression effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. The New American Standard Version says effeminate nor homosexuals. So it's clearly a reference to those who are engaged in those perversions, and they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. Another good passage along that line, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 speaks of some that God, Romans 1 verse 24, "God gave some up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." It says God gave them up to vile affections, verse 26, "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." The Bible's so plain on the subject of homosexuality. It's amazing to me that any religious person could even question what the Bible so plainly teaches on that, but the reason why they do, Jacob, it's just inconvenient.
It makes someone uncomfortable. It requires a change, and we don't want to change. We'll change God's word instead of changing our lives so that we're not inconvenienced by the teachings of God's word. What do you think? Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or give us a call, 931-381-4567. Our last break is here. When we get back, we'll take it to the top of the hour. We want to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday night.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program tonight. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you've taken time to join us on the virtual Bible study tonight. We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets in the Columbia, Tennessee area. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to come and worship with the College View Church of Christ at your earliest convenience to find out what it is that we're all about. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesday evenings at 7. You'd be welcome at any of these services. We encourage you to come. If you have any questions about the College View Church of Christ, need more directions on how to get to the meeting place of the church, please give us a call at 931-381-4567 or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. If you're listening outside of the Columbia, Tennessee area, Dad, we would still encourage our listeners, if they have any questions about what we're all about, what we believe, and what we practice, we would encourage them to contact us anytime via the phone or via email. We'd love to study with any of our listeners wherever they are around the world if they have questions about what we're about.
Jacob, our theme of inconvenient truth in the Bible, we continue. We got a few more minutes here to discuss that. Seems like we've had quite a bit of emphasis on what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, remarriage. That's inconvenient to a lot of people, about our need to be spreading the gospel. That puts us in an inconvenient kind of situation sometimes. That's been suggested. The idea that we need to worship regularly, that's an inconvenient thing to a lot of people's minds. The idea that we have to change some practices, for instance, like calling our preacher reverend or father, because the Bible condemns that sort of thing. Just lots of examples, Jacob, and we'd be glad to have our listeners call in or email us with other examples that you see of things that people are unwilling to accept, truths that the Bible very clearly conveys, but people are unwilling to accept these truths. It's just too inconvenient, and so they're going to do what they want to do. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke about that mentality, and notice what he said in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 10, in Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know, notice Paul said, if I'm seeking to please men, and that would include myself, if I'm seeking to please myself, how can I call myself the servant of Christ? We're servants of Christ. Therefore, we do what he says, even when it's not convenient, even when we don't like the consequences.
A physical servant doesn't do what they want to do all the time. A physical servant has to do the things that please the master, and we are spiritual servants of God, and therefore we must do the things that please God, not that please ourselves. And as a result, there may be things that God requires of us that are uncomfortable, that are not necessarily pleasing to us. We must conform ourselves to the teachings of God's Word and not conform God's Word to our pleasures and our desires. What do you think? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com are the ways you can participate tonight, and there's plenty of time for your participation on the virtual Bible study tonight.
Jacob, let me suggest another topic, and we may not get to fully develop this subject. We may want to do a program on this at some point in the future, but it has to do with the idea of compromising what the Bible teaches about creation with the unfounded claims of certain scientists. You know, very common for us to hear scientists suggest that the universe is ancient, our solar system, for instance, has been in existence for billions of years, that the Earth has existed for billions of years, and that life has been on this planet for billions, millions of years. And yet when we go to the Bible and read the Bible suggests that creation has been a fairly recent thing, and that that life has not existed for that long here on planet Earth. The Bible suggests time periods in the realm of thousands of years versus millions and billions of years. And so a lot of people have seen sort of a need to try and compromise what the Bible teaches with what science claims. Now, I got to say, that's what science claims, because science has not been able to prove these things to be true. So there's certain scientific claims, but certain Christians have felt a need to rush to compliance. You know, whatever scientists say, we have got to go along with that. And so they've come up with various schemes to try and work in to what the Bible teaches as you know, trying to put extra time into the Bible timeline. And so one of the ways that has been popular in recent years, especially among certain Christians, is to try and suggest that in Genesis, when we read about the days of creation, instead of taking those to be literal 24-hour consecutive days, that what we ought to do is try to imagine that each one of those days was a long geological period of time, and that the creation story in Genesis 1 should not be taken literally, but should be taken figuratively, and that the days there do not suggest literal days, but figurative days.
Well, it's inconvenient when we have to go up against scientists. People would say maybe that we're unlearned, that we're ignorant, that we would reject what learned scientists would say. And therefore, they would say that we should accept the fact that scientists tell us that the world is very old, and we should not argue with that. And so the only way that they can do that then is to twist what God has said in His Word, because that's inconvenient. It would cause them to go against the popular thought of the day. Therefore, we twist the Word of God. We pervert it to make the story of creation into something that it is not, that it clearly doesn't teach in the Bible.
Yeah, real quickly, we could point out that Hebrew scholars tell us that the word for day in Genesis chapter 1, when used in the grammatical construction that's found there in Genesis 1, that such usage is repeated over 300 times in the Old Testament, and in every case it refers to a 24-hour day. In other words, there's no other place in the Old Testament where a similar grammatical construction using the Hebrew word for day, yom, you find that grammatical construction hundreds of times in the Old Testament, and every place else it always refers to clearly a 24-hour day. Why would it be an exception in Genesis chapter 1? That's an argument we could make. Genesis chapter 1 does not seem to allow for a figurative interpretation of that word. Furthermore, God actually defined His terms right there in Genesis 1. Notice in verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God actually defined His terms. A period of light followed by a period of darkness constituted a day in Genesis 1. That's still what we refer to as a day today. A period of light followed by a period of darkness. That same usage is repeated again and again and again in Genesis 1. Evening and morning. It's found other places in the Old Testament. It always refers to a 24-hour day. The days of Genesis 1 were literal 24-hour days.
The fact of the matter is, Dad, the Bible simply does not allow for the teaching of the scientists to be correct. The Bible does not allow for the world to be millions or billions of years old. The Bible simply does not teach that. It's inconvenient to accept it. It will require us to be different than the world. It will require us to be in contradiction to the so-called learned scientists. But you know what? Scientists have been wrong all throughout history. If we have followed everything that the scientists have said throughout history, we'd be wrong a lot of the time. We must stick with God. God is the one who created the world, and God is correct on all of these issues.
Established scientific scientific standards in time past would have us to believe that the Earth was the center of the universe and the world was flat. I mean, that's what scientists were telling people. They've been proved wrong. So, I mean, for us to bow down at the altar of scientific knowledge and to reject plain Bible teaching would have made us wrong in times past, very likely make us wrong today. The Bible's plain. Again, as you said, Jacob, it's inconvenient to stand on the plain truth of the Bible concerning recent creation and that the earth is young, not old, but even though we may have to experience the inconvenience of being considered fanatical or extremist on that point, we're going to have to accept what the Bible teaches. It's an inconvenient truth to some, but we're going to stand on what the Bible teaches on that subject.
Still time for a few more comments, 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeview.com. We may want to spend some more time on that study, Dad, go a little bit more in depth into that issue at some other time on another program.
Yeah, if our listeners think that that'd be a worthwhile subject to consider, send us an email. We consider that kind of input as we choose subject for future Bible studies on the virtual Bible study. Jake, we've got an email from Indiana, someone asking about immodesty.
There's another study.
That certainly might deserve a whole program, but it is inconvenient when we point out that the Bible requires the people of God to dress modestly. people of the world don't dress modestly, and of course the temptation is to follow the societal trends. And if you're going to follow the societal trends, you will not be dressing modestly. And some people find it very inconvenient to have to live up to what the Bible teaches on that subject.
Well, you know, I think it's maybe more inconvenient for women than it is for men, Dad. When a woman goes out to find a new dress or some new clothes to wear, the styles of the day mandate certain types of fashion are out there that are available, that are easily purchased. If a woman wants to be modest in her clothing and her apparel, it's going to severely limit her selection when she tries to purchase clothing. It's inconvenient to try and maintain the standards of modesty that God demands. And a lot of Christians, a lot of people who are claiming to be followers of Christ, are tempted to twist the scriptures because the truth on modesty is inconvenient.
Real quickly, just one passage along that line. I do think that we probably want to have a program dedicated to that subject at some point real soon, Jacob. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." And so, you know, there's a thing that's inconvenient people. In fact, the passage goes on to talk about another inconvenient subject. "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, for I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over man, but to be in silence."
Another verse has been twisted all over the place.
All over the place, and it's inconvenient to a lot of people to have to live up to what the Bible teaches concerning the roles of men and women. But in all these things, Jacob, in fact, we've got another email someone has written in. "Would it be inconvenient to remove pianos and organs from our places of worship? Instrumental music is widely used in churches today, but Ephesians 5:19 says, 'Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.'" I think this is another example. People want their instrumental music in their religious services, and it's inconvenient when we say that the Bible doesn't authorize those things, and therefore we should limit ourselves to a cappella music, singing in worship.
All right. Well, Dad, we've had a good discussion. The truth is inconvenient. That's the way it is. That's the fact of the matter. God hasn't tried to hide that from us. God has told us throughout time that the truth will be inconvenient at times. God's never tried to hide that fact. In fact, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The lifestyle that Jesus demands is not convenient, and as a result, many will refuse to deny themselves. Instead, they will manipulate and pervert the simple teachings of God's Word to suit themselves, and by doing so, they eliminate the need to deny themselves, but as a result, they fail to follow Christ. Being pleasing to God requires that we accept the truths that He has revealed to us, even if they are inconvenient. It is only then that we can begin to understand that God's commands are for our good always, as is taught in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. But unfortunately, Dad, many will not ever understand that. Many will never come to realize the fact that God's commands, while they may be inconvenient, are for our good, and that we will be blessed by submitting our will to God's, even in those areas, in those commands that are inconvenient.
Yeah, again, Jacob, I think this goes a lot to the subject of sacrifice. Will we sacrifice our will and our desires in order to be able to please God and do His will? A lot of people don't want any sacrifice. They want it all the way they want it.
Dad, we've had a good study. Appreciate our listeners for taking time out of their Thursday evening to be a part of the program. Thank you, Dad, for your time tonight on the study.
Well, it's been a good study, I think. Something certainly worth considering. We appreciate our listeners and the good participation we've had from listeners tonight. Look forward to these Thursday night Bible studies. Hope you'll join us always on Thursday night for the virtual Bible study.
And as you mentioned earlier, Dad, we're open to any suggestion for a topic for future virtual Bible study programs. If you have a topic that you think would be good to be discussed in this format on this medium, give us a call or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com with your suggestion. We'd love to hear from you on any topic suggestion you might have for the virtual Bible study. Thanks again for joining us on the program tonight. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next Thursday for another edition of the virtual Bible study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day, even if it is inconvenient. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.